the ever-changing threats to general aviation from government regulation. A few minutes with James Coyne of NATA. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. A new administration will take over in Washington in January. But even in the waning lame duck moments of 2008, aviation is suddenly facing intrusive new regulations from the Transportation Security Administration and Customs and Border Patrol. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell gets impressions on the challenges facing aviation from James Coyne, who has the unique qualifications of being both a former congressman and the current president of the National Air Transportation Association.
We have good fortune to be speaking today to Jim Coyne, president of NATA, on subjects that are near and dear to the hearts of aviation business as we continue to look at, well, the government. Jim, first, can you talk a little bit about the mission of NATA and your viewpoint on the situation we face?
Well, NATA, of course, has been an association representing aviation businesses at airports, mostly regulated parties like repair stations, FBOs, charter operators, flight schools, and others. But essentially, the men and women who operate businesses at airports across the country are members of NATA. And, of course, our real goal is to grow private and business aviation, because all of our member companies depend upon growth in the user community. So we work very closely with airport pilot groups, aviation pilot groups like AOPA and NBAA. They're our customers, and we're the businesses that they depend upon. And none of us succeed if aviation is crippled or controlled unnecessarily by too much government regulations. And part of most of our job is to deal with the issues of government regulation as it affects aviation and aviation businesses and aviation users.
Well, as someone who represents what I consider to be the heart and soul of GA and business aviation, we've had some real interesting developments in regards to government oversight, if you will, or regulation coming from Customs and Border Patrol, DHS, TSA, and some recent rulemaking or proposed rulemaking sure seems to signal some strong changes for the way we do business and how we could conceivably not do business in some cases for the future.
Well, this has been an issue ever since literally 9/11, or really years before to some degree, but especially 9/11 and the months and years since then. As you know, we led the fight to get general aviation back into National Airport, but of course we only got a slight foothold into that. We've fought to make access into the TFRs, the ATIS, the various restrictions that have been placed upon international arrivals, flight training, students, and so forth. So we've had almost a nonstop effort over the last 7 years to deal with what has been a continuous march of new regulations based upon the fear within the security community that somehow a general aviation airplane will be a vehicle for some evildoers or evil weapons in the future. And it's just so ironic to me, you know, looking at the events of 9/11, of course, involved commercial airplanes exclusively, and we really have not had any general aviation activity by terrorists in the United States and North America, other than, you know, the abuses by drug smugglers and so forth. And we feel very strongly that this is area of continuing, almost permanent regulatory overkill. And I'm worried about it, and I hope that our community will come together, as it has had in the past, to speak aggressively about proposed rules. The specific rule, of course, that's at hand right now is a broadening of the regulations affecting larger aircraft, so-called 12,500-pound aircraft and above. We have been subjected in the charter community to very established rules now for security and charter, and now the regulating bodies want to expand that to include all Part 91 aircraft as well as charter. They've proposed a rule. They've taken the same 12,500-pound threshold and they're applying a host of new burdens upon air operators of those aircraft, and also especially when that aircraft crosses the border. The irony here is that we've been working with TSA very hard for the last 4 or 5 years to bring a partnership with them and the industry, because we don't want a general aviation aircraft using a terrorist act any more than they do. We have seen, as is often the case in regulatory rulemaking steps, a lot of misunderstanding and confusion, and we hope that the regulatory process, as it goes forward, we can work effectively with the new administration to produce a security regime that makes sense for general aviation.
Now, some of the WAGs out there would tend to suggest that some of the regulation that is being proposed closes the gap between general and business aviation and the airlines, and that this is to the airline industry's benefit. Are we getting a little alarmist or a little too suggestive of a possible rationale for this?
Well, I suppose there is some joy in the airline community when they see regulations tightened on general aviation in any form, whether it's higher taxes like user fees or new burdens upon us in a security regime. And to be fair, I think there's have been in the past some people in the general aviation community who take joy from the burdens that this regulations or new regulations that are put on commercial aviation. But I think, you know, that's really an unwise kind of attitude to take. I think we are better off when we work all aviation components work together in a more concerted way to try to bring kind of good thinking or level-headed thought to the regulating community. And I think there's many, many things that the regulators have done to the airlines that I think are overkill or unwise. And I'm hopeful that they will not be trying to encourage these added regulations on us, because we certainly didn't argue in favor of more regulations for the airlines. Having said that, of course, I have no evidence to suggest that airlines' fingerprints are on this rulemaking. I think it more directly relates to the kind of mindset that exists in the security professionals, if I can use that word, where they kind of make their living dreaming up scenarios that are kind of what ifs, and these fictional, purely creative scenarios that many of them have created involve private airplanes being used by terrorist groups to deliver a weapon or to deliver criminals or something into the United States. And notwithstanding the fact that there are, you know, all sorts of reasons that a terrorist would prefer to use a different mode of transportation for delivering a nuclear bomb or trying to smuggle in someone across a border, notwithstanding the fact that this is that the borders are pretty insecure for people just driving across them in a car or a truck, and notwithstanding the fact that there's no real evidence to suggest that terrorists are taking steps to commandeer a small airplane in the manners that have been theorized, if you will. Notwithstanding all of that, the security folks are creative people, and they keep coming up with these scenarios. And I know it's from the very, very highest level of the Department of Homeland Security. The Secretary himself has spoken at our conferences, and he is very, very concerned about a general aviation airplane bringing a weapon of mass destruction. And it is very much in his mindset, and I think also the President Bush's mindset, that this is a serious, serious risk. And as much as we have talked to him about it, and as much as our members have talked to him about it, they continue to assert that this is a high risk. They don't share with us any specific intelligence to confirm it, but it's the type of thing that we have to deal with here in Washington, where people create fictional threats and or theoretical threats, and we have to shoot them down one way or another.
What do you think is going to be the cumulative effect of the constituency for the National Air Transportation Association?
Well, we are operating now in an economic regime environment where we're facing probably the toughest economic circumstances that we've seen in several decades. And I cannot think of a worse time for our government to be creating procedures that discourage people from using private aviation. We have many economic threats right now, and of course this year we had in addition the fuel costs that went up and now down, fortunately, but we have a very serious implosion on Wall Street and our housing market, and a lot of concern about the depth of a recession next year, and cutbacks and layoffs and who knows what else, and I can't think of a worse time for the government to start imposing new restrictions that give people who might be on the edge, if you will, of being able to continue flying for one reason or another, and now this could be one more straw on an overburdened camel right now. So it's a very, very troublesome. Our members are very nervous about any new government regulation, and frankly, the whole prospect of a new administration coming in with new taxes, new labor union rules, new priorities in transportation, perhaps shifting over to mass transit and away from aviation, all sorts of issues that raise concerns in our mind as to what our government is going to do to us next, not so much for us, but to us. There's just no doubt that on the security front, on the tax front, on the labor management front, there's a lot we're worried about right now.
We'll be back in a moment with ANN's Jim Campbell and NATA President James Coyne. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with James Coyne, president of the National Air Transportation Association.
As a former member of Congress, you've got more insight into the mechanisms involved than virtually anybody else. How do we effectively make our concerns known and real to those who keep heaping on the pile here?
Well, two of the things that we have been able to do with regard to the Homeland Security proposals that are currently before us, we did just the last week get their agreement to extend the comment period from 60 days to 120 days. So we now have effectively 3.5 months to get comments, written comments on what they call the docket, the rulemaking docket. And I urge every single person who is concerned about added costs. I mean, the government is admitting that these costs could amount to literally millions and millions of dollars on an industry that just can't afford it right now. Not to mention costs to the taxpayers, because this is an expensive rule from the federal government side as well. But that's only part of the process, the rulemaking docket and the written comments. And I fully expect to see thousands of written comments submitted to this on this rule to the government. And I don't know. I can only imagine how different people in different parts of the country with different economic circumstances, different business prospects, so forth, are going to express their concerns about the rule, but I'm sure that they will be eloquent. Now, in addition to the written comments, though, we just got word this week that the Transportation Security Administration, or the Homeland Security, will hold 5 public hearings over the next 3 months on the rule. And I am very hopeful that these public hearings will provide an opportunity for our members and other concerned parties to not only criticize the rule, but offer better ways to reach the same objective. There are, in my mind, 2 fundamental issues. One, is there a better, more affordable, less intrusive way to meet the same concerns that the government has? And secondly, is it necessary for all types of aircraft to fall under this rule? I mean, every plane, or can we somehow limit the scope of the rule to only weapons or airplanes that are truly have enough mass to create a problem? I think the government has 2 fundamental concerns. One is that they want to know who, when they see a radar blip on the screen, especially near a boundary of the U.S., they see a plane coming toward our shores, or maybe one that's very close to the shore. They want to know who's on that airplane. I flew, for example, in my plane a few weeks ago from upstate Wisconsin over to Maine, and flew right across our border into Canada and right back across the border into the U.S. in a IFR flight plan. And the government says, well, I want to know who's on that airplane. Now, of course, I file a flight plan. I tell them my name and my aircraft identifier and so forth, but they want more information. So maybe there's a way in the filing of our flight plans or in the way that our aircraft registration process is completed that we can give them some comfort as to who's on these airplanes, or maybe some code that can be developed, but something less obtrusive than what they've proposed. The other big concern that they have is this question of the kinetic energy of an airplane, and if it hits something, how much damage can it do? They have test data that they have taken about this, and they haven't shared it with us. And I think it's appropriate for them to show us what the data really suggests in terms of the damage that an airplane can produce. My experience has been that planes under 40, 50,000 pounds don't have much destructive mass, certainly nothing compared to what happened on 9/11. And so I think they have an obligation to share some of their data with us so that we have better information.
Do you have any idea as yet, and I realize this is a really curveball question, about how aviation's fortunes may, transition as an Obama administration comes into force?
Well, all I can predict is it's going to change. That's been the $64 question, the word of the hour for the last 2 years. And, of course, pilots understand the concept of change perhaps a little bit more precisely than the average layman does. When we're flying on a heading of, 090, and someone says, change your heading, that's not a good enough answer for us. The right answer is change to 085 or 095 or 270. Which way are we going to be going? And that's what is such a conundrum right now to everybody in the industry. We hear the talk of change, and we don't know whether it's going to be a 5 or 10 degree change one way or the other, or whether it's going to be a 180 degree change. There's no doubt that the fiscal problem that the U.S. government is in right now, with taxes, revenues probably going to go down, the recession, huge amounts of money being thrown at problems left and right, bailing out different industries, that the Congress is going to be looking for every penny and dollar it can find under wherever it may find it. So that really raises concerns on people who in a sense, are perceived as having money. General aviation users have this bizarre reputation as being just rich people. And I think you and I know probably 9 out of 10 of our friends who fly are far from millionaires. They're just ordinary middle-class Americans. But nevertheless, aviation has this sort of reputation as being something that only the very, very wealthy can do. And unfortunately, that makes it a target for those who want to increase taxes on the wealthy. And I'm very troubled about how much harder the user fee fight, for example, may be in this coming year than it was over the last 3 or 4 years. Secondly, of course, the new administration has a lot of IOUs to different industry, let's say political groups, which have been opponents of aviation of one stripe or another, or not so much opponents, but problematic, whether they are trial lawyers or environmental groups or other special interest groups, certainly labor management issues within the FAA, focusing on some of the union issues there. These are all involving interest groups that feel that now that Obama's in there, their fortunes will be improved, that the trial lawyers will be able to reverse the General Aviation Revitalization Act like they wanted to do, that the unions will be able to reverse the work rules that were imposed on air traffic controllers and others, and that, of course, the environmentalists will be able to get unleaded fuel out of the skies and deal with global warming in a way that affects aviation. So there are a lot of issues that the new administration, their interest groups are problematic. Now, whether Mr. Obama himself is willing to take steps to hurt one of America's most important industries, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I'm a little concerned. I'm a lot concerned, and it's going to be an interesting year.
Indeed, 2009 is going to be a fascinating year one way or another. But we're pleased to have people with your background in leadership positions, and we thank you for all of your efforts. Heretofore, on behalf of aviation, as the president of NATA, the voice of aviation business, and we look forward to working with you over the next year.
Well, we're going to need your help, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk with you again.
You can find out more about the National Air Transportation Association at www.nata.aero. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.